Hello and welcome to another Coffee Chat with Dream Life Creators, a podcast where we inspire, motivate, encourage, but also give you practical tips to live your dream life here and now. My name is Alinka Tercic, I'm your host, and today I am chatting with Zoe Foster. Zoe has such an incredible bio, but sorry, I can't even pronounce half of these titles, so I will not. Hey, Zoe.
Hey, Alinka.
I'm so happy to have you here because I know that our chat will be magical and, really creative and everything that you are. But you chose the title for this show, and it is Transcending the Physical for Ultimate Well-Being. So let me ask you first, what does that mean?
Wow, well, that's a really good question to start with. Let's just dive straight right in.
Yeah,
go on.
No, I just wanted to, because it will be in the title, and I'm sure that a lot of people don't even, maybe they have an idea, but they don't really understand what did you mean by that?
Of course. So I chose this because it's been a theme through my own well-being journey, and more and more so, like all of these kind of journeys that we have, the messages that we find along the way become stronger and stronger and stronger. You know, we might forget about them for a little while and they come back and they slap us in the face a bit more and, you know, until we get the message eventually.
It's called life.
Yeah. So this has been my biggest one, really. And it is essentially, in a nutshell, about not forgetting our physical selves, because obviously, you know, it's incredibly important to look after our body, to, you know, do as much as we can to be in our bodies. That's one of the biggest issues that I think we also have. But it's not getting stuck in the body. That's what it's about. I really, really see that these days when people are talking about well-being and being healthy and being vibrant, they're really focusing just on the physical, on you know, the food that they eat, on the exercise that they do, on the supplements that they take, you know, getting enough sunshine or whatever it is. And yet we are so much more than just our physical. You know, I can't express that enough. And like I said, this has been, you know, slap, 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 slap me, like over and over and over again. Whenever I get stuck in the body is really when I'm at my sickest. You know, even if I'm already experiencing symptoms, if I get stuck there with the symptoms and with trying to fix the symptoms or trying to alleviate them, I just get stuck in that zone of feeling ill, of feeling, you know, low energy, of feeling at my worst. And so transcending the physical is acknowledging for a start that you're not just a physical being. You know, you are a soul, you are a spirit, even when you're at your lowest point. And believe me, physically, emotionally, mentally, I have been at my lowest point several times, and it's horrible. And I know how it feels, that you feel like you can't even connect to that spark inside you sometimes because you're so depleted. But it's a practice. It is a practice. And so connecting to those parts of you, the inner energies and the outer energies, are so crucial to feeling whole, to feeling connected, and to feeling good, to feeling healthy.
Awesome. So you mentioned a few times your journey and your own struggles with everything. And I know that you have a lot of chronic conditions, a lot of struggles. Can you share your journey, what you experienced, what you had, and how you overcome it?
Yeah, so in 2013, I basically made the choice to come off all of the medication that I was taking for my asthma and my eczema. And so I want to start off by saying, I don't, you know, this is not saying like, you know, stop taking your medication, people. That's not what I'm saying here. I'm just sharing my own story.
Of course.
But I made that choice because they weren't working for me, particularly the topical steroid creams that I was using for my eczema. You know, my eczema was just getting out of control. And I've had both of these conditions along with many other chronic issues since I was a child, since I was an infant, actually. So I've been taking these medications my whole life, basically. And in terms of the topical steroid creams, you know, I was putting it on patches of my skin, and it would maybe alleviate it for a little, like a day or two, and then it would come back and it would spread and it would get worse. So I was getting it, you know, it was breaking out all over in places I'd never had it before. I was just really, really, really suffering. So I went to the doctor, you know, God, you know, help me, can you do some tests? You know, maybe I need something else in my diet or whatever. And he said, well, here you go, here's some stronger topical steroid creams. So I went away for a year, and I still, I've got a lot of forgiveness to do about this, because for that year, I know I could have been doing something really good for myself. And instead, I chose to use the stronger creams for a whole other year. And again, eventually they stopped working. My skin was worse than ever. I was experiencing, you know, kind of random breakouts and worse asthma, worse allergies, worse chronic fatigue. Just everything was impounding, basically. It was, you know, I was barely able to kind of focus at all. And I had two small children, obviously, to look after, as along with everything else. And I thought, there's no choice. I can see, you know, my life moving forwards, basically taking these medicines and knowing that they're just masking the symptoms. They're just suppressing the symptoms. They're not doing anything to heal me. So I've got the choice of moving forwards, and like I'd spent the last year, you know, basically using stronger over more areas for more time, or I can actually start looking at the root causes, the root issues of why this is happening, of why my body is just, you know, shutting down. Essentially, it was really shutting down. And that was the start of my journey. So since 2013, after that, I went through 18 months or so of really intense healing, like a healing crisis. I was largely housebound. I mean, I had to leave the house sometimes to kind of, you know, do things with my kids, look after them, take them to nursery, things like that, whilst my partner worked. But essentially, I was in so much pain, agony, discomfort. I couldn't sleep. You know, I didn't sleep for like 9 months, other than periodically my body just, you know, shutting down from fatigue.
Wow.
And it was really horrible. And after the 18 months, I'd actually reached my kind of worst point. Going into 2014, and I remember thinking, you know, is this it? Is this how I'm going to expire? You know, I got to that point. I thought, well, maybe I'm dying, because everything was so, it didn't seem to be getting better, it seemed to be getting worse. And of course the doctors, they couldn't do anything, because the only choice they physically have in their kind of capability is to give the steroids. and the steroids. Steroids were designed, by the way, to be used in an emergency. So obviously they pep up the adrenals, you know, they kind of get the body kind of revved up into that kind of fight or flight mode, but it helps you deal, supposedly, with something in an acute situation. And they were never meant to be used long term. And you can imagine what happens when your adrenals are kind of, you know, they're
in the overrun, right?
Exactly, they've become dependent on this cortisol, this fake cortisol that is being kind of slathered on and absorbed into the body or inhaled into the lungs. And when you take that away, your body obviously has, you know, and bearing in mind, I'm talking about maybe 30 plus years of that. My body didn't really know anything different. And so it suddenly had to not just repair all the damage that had been done, but figure out how to even work basic processes because it didn't know. So there was a lot that I had to do. And when I was at this ground zero point thinking, you know, maybe this is it, I remember thinking, I don't know where else to look. I don't, you know, this feels like nothing. And it wasn't like a bolt from the blue. It wasn't like angels came in singing or anything like that. But I had this really slowly dawning realization that there was something bigger. There was something that wanted me to live. That wanted me to use my experience as well to help others, even at that point. And also, so as a, I'm just going to interject here, in my 20s, I was manic depressive. And just being really totally, you know, honest and open here, there were several times that I considered suicide. And at the crucial point, every single time, the main thing that stopped me was a kind of inner stubbornness. that this, you know, I kind of, even though I felt so horrendously low, I refused, my soul refused to give up. And that was how it was in this instance as well. My soul was refusing to give up. And it just, it basically asked me for a chance to shine. You know, it was saying, listen to me. Instead of focusing on all of this, you know, the physical trauma, the emotional and the mental trauma, listen to me. And that was my, if you like, that spiritual side, the spiritual energy, which I've never truly tapped into because I grew up in an atheistic family. And so that energy was all around me, and I never quite kind of accepted that. Excuse me. But I did, you know, it was, I've always struggled with that side of things, even in my yoga teacher training, for example. Even going to yoga classes, you know, when I got into yoga, I'd really struggle with the kind of the more spiritual aspects, you know, and all the kind of talk of chakras and energy and saying namaste at the end of class, you know, I just, all of that, it really triggered that kind of atheistic, you know, upbringing, basically. And so I have always suppressed that side of myself. I've never really trusted it as well. But about 18 months, when I was at that ground zero point, it spoke to me and it said, you've just got to listen. You know, enough's enough, basically. You've just got to listen now. And I did. And I honestly, I'm not exaggerating at all. From that day forwards, I made a choice to connect to that part of me and to honor it. Just even just once or twice a day.
to fully connect and to feel it in my body. And I got better. I made so much progress in those next few months. I didn't do anything else different. But I made so much progress in that next year, basically. And I've had to keep reminding myself of that. So every time, like all chronic conditions and healing from anything, going through any kind of healing crisis, you go through ups and downs, go backwards a little bit, you go up and down, it's definitely never linear. And I've had to keep reminding myself of that. So every time I go down, I have a dip, to connect back into that and not to just think, oh, I've got to take more, eat more green stuff, I've got to exercise more, I've got to do all of these things, because it's not, yes, that's important. But actually, I would say connecting to your spirit, to your soul, to your inner light, and out into the wider world and universe is more important, so much more.
Wow, I love it. And I can really relate to that because I have a situation with my mother. And like you said, this is not any medical advice or what, our listeners should do. But my mom was suffering from depression. And after my father died, she started to drink. She gained weight. She was really, very, very low. And because she gained weight and she was not, all the blood pressure, the heart, any condition that you can imagine. And they were just adding more and more and more pills. And at the end, it was so bad that, whenever I took her to the hospital for the checkups or whatever, because obviously I'm at home, I was always the driver for her, they start asking me, oh, does she has Alzheimer's or does she has dementia? And I'm like, no, she's perfectly fine. She's, yeah. And then one day she decided I will not take any pills anymore. Because they wanted to insert her a pacemaker for the heart.
Yeah.
And she said, no, I'm done with anything. When I'm meant to die, I will die. I'm not taking any surgeries, any medications. No doctor will touch me anymore. And this was like 3 years ago. And my mom is so bright and so... She knows all our phone numbers of every child, grandchild, all her friends. She's learning. I bought her that. It's like a calendar, when you turn pages and every day it's like a poem or quote or something. So every morning she learns by heart this poem and then she tells them to everyone that wants to listen to her. And she's so different. She's, yeah. Let's say, normal,
Wow.
And it's fun to talk to her. It's fun to visit because she knows things. Before, I was always like, I never knew, how I will find her. Will she be able to talk? Will she be delusional? Or will she talk about something? Or, even attacking us for something that we didn't do, but she didn't know better. So I totally can relate to that, and even though I admit, that, of course, sometimes medications are great.
Yeah.
Like you said, if you keep adding, different medication starts clashing, it can make, our bodies to function even worse than the medications was meant to help with.
Yeah.
And what you said about, connecting with your inner self and your soul, and we all know, I know, and you obviously know too, that, everything that goes around with the emotions and everything reflects in our body.
Definitely, yeah.
And yeah, we are never taught to deal with this in this way.
No.
Awesome.
Yeah, and our bodies always want to come back to balance, but our bodies are designed to continually balance, and that's why we get symptoms. So they're saying, it's our body saying, look, something's not quite right, you know, you might want to do something about this, rather than, you know, we think of the symptoms that come up, whether that's, you know, headaches or skin problems or, you know, fibromyalgia or whatever it is, we think of those things as the problem, and they're not the problem, they're the symptoms. Yeah. And so instead of thinking, well, we've got to treat the symptoms, we've got to do something there in order to alleviate them, which obviously sometimes you have to do that as well, just to get through the day. And one example of that is, as I was going through my withdrawal process, so my healing crisis, although I stopped all of my steroid medications and everything, I ended up having to take tons of antihistamines because I was obviously so itchy, you know, I was so intensely itchy all over, all the time. And I couldn't sleep as well, so I had to take sleeping pills for a short while. But again, you can only take them for, you know, a short time before they stop working. And you've got it, your body's got to find that balance again. So it's so hard. You've got to learn to inhabit this body, to trust it. Oh, that's so hard. And like you say, yeah, connecting with that inner purpose, that inner light, and that really helps so much and so many different levels. It helps with the trust part, certainly.
So about your journey, and you said the withdrawal phase, and you decided to just quit the pills and everything, and you know, to go into a more, let's say, natural way of being. What was your guiding point? I mean, did you follow someone? Did you have any help? Did you have any specific techniques? What did you use to get you through this phase? Because, you know, just saying, okay, I will quit, I assume it's like, I will quit smoking, but, you know, without some kind of peer support or someone to really help you go through it. It's difficult to be alone in this journey.
Oh my God, yes. Oh my God. And so I want to preface my answer by saying that we live in a society where we are used to giving our self-responsibility for our health in particular away. So, you know, we say, oh, this is wrong with me, I've got to go to the doctor. And the doctor gives you some advice and or some medication, and you go away and you follow that mostly. It's very rare that we kind of maybe use our own intelligence, and I don't just mean our brain intelligence, I mean our, yeah, you know, our enteric intelligence, our heart intelligence, our bodily intelligence to kind of assess the situation. And even in that doctor's office, you know, does what he or she has said to you, does that feel good? How many times have you left a doctor's office thinking, I don't really want to do this, but I can't really, I don't know what else to do, you know? Yeah. And so there's definitely a big part of learning to trust ourselves and our bodies that is sadly really missing in our society. And when you have grown up in that kind of conditioning and you don't have peers around you who have that kind of that bodily intelligence or connection either, then it is incredibly hard. You feel alone if what your doctor has given you doesn't seem to be working, where else do you go? You know? Yep. So yes, there's tons of alternative therapies, obviously, and that is a fantastic resource. But so many people feel so overwhelmed, they don't know where to start with that. Or they maybe try something for a little while and it doesn't seem to be working because alternative therapies take time.
And again, it's not everything for everyone or for every illness. right? So you have to kind of find what works for you.
Yeah. So what was the question?
How did you go through this phase? How did you overcome all these
struggles? So I did have a form of peer support, which was the when I basically realized what was happening. Of course, I did some Googling and I found some support groups that, and suddenly, oh my God, it all makes sense when you find these thousands of other people who are going through the same thing.
Yeah.
And you think, oh my God, it's such a relief in some ways. So I had that. I had, in those groups who they were life support, because I could talk to them via, the medium of technology, at like 3 a.m. when I was in the bath, when I was feeling horrendous, I couldn't sleep and I was just like thinking everything was awful. I would read through the posts of people who were either at the same stage as me or they were further along, and the kind of light that they could give, and the hope and the inspiration. And that was really fundamental, I have to say, definitely. So I'm really grateful to have that peer support. And then I had my yoga training. So actually, I don't think it's a coincidence at all that basically I officially started my teacher training in 2012, about 9 months before I went fully into my healing crisis. And that first 9 months as well, I was experiencing loads of really weird kind of symptoms. And, like I said, there was all kinds of stuff coming up that I kind of thought, well, this is clearly not working. And then I went fully into my healing crisis, and my yoga teacher training really saved me, because not only did it give me a lot of tools and intelligence, things that I could finally kind of understand, that's why I feel this way, or that's what maybe why a lot of those symptoms are coming up, or even just how to deal with things like the chronic stress that I was under. So when you have that level of pain and discomfort all the time, it's intrinsically, it's completely linked with stress. So the one affects the other, clearly. But I was stressed out the whole time, and I wasn't sleeping, which adds to it. And I was in lots of pain, which adds to it. And I was in lots of emotional and mental discomfort, which adds to it. So it was just this incredible ball of stress. And then I had my yoga teacher training, and my yoga teachers and my peer group of them to help support me. So I would go to some of my teacher training weekends, and I'd lie there on my mat, not being able to move because I was in so much pain, but basically absorbing the energy.
Yeah, you were still there, exactly.
The information and all of that stuff, just absorbing it, listening to it, being in that space, being present as much as I could with them and with their energy, instead of just focused, huddled up on a ball with my own pain. So that was also incredible. Awesome. And obviously, yeah, go on.
So what would you tell someone who's going through the same issue, not same but similar issues as you, would be like a one way that they can start digging their way out?
Wow. Yeah, so definitely find some kind of support, and I appreciate that can be incredibly hard. So in all transparency, my, you know, I didn't have family support. I didn't have friends because people didn't understand, you know, and I get that. People didn't understand what I was going through or why, you know, like, why have you done this to yourself? Why are you not going to the doctor? Why are you not fixing it? And it's like, well, I am trying to fix it. So I really get that. And even my husband, bless him, you know, he became my carer. You know, he didn't ask to be. He just kind of, he was landed that job. And he didn't always, again, he didn't always understand. He didn't always empathize or even sympathize. So yes, you've got to find some kind of support group somewhere. And that could just be, you know, like some online forums, or it could be, if you can't get out of the house, maybe contacting a local yoga teacher, for example, contacting me, you know, obviously I've been through it, so I can kind of help as well. But having some kind of support, somebody who can empathize and help in those moments where you just don't feel like you've got anybody to kind of connect with. And other than that, there's so many tools that you can use to basically rewire your own nervous system. So like I said, I was under chronic stress the whole time, but that didn't stop me every day, basically because I didn't have a choice, practicing all of the, you know, the breathing techniques that I had, the meditation and the visualization techniques that I had. And even just small kind of embodied, really embodied awareness of the pain. Because if you deny yourself that connection, then you're denying yourself that embodiment of your, you know, your own self. And so actually acknowledging the pain and moving into it just gently, using the breath, using your mind and your emotions and your spiritual connection with that light to really help you. That's so important, to help you move through it with integrity. And without that, without each of those kind of 5 points, you're only treating one little aspect, and some of the others are going to come up and bite you.
Awesome. So you said that people can also reach to you and you will have them, and I know that this is what your work is all about as well. So where can people find you to learn more, and just a few words about your freebie that you're giving? I will post the link later in the blog and under the video, so they can find it. But
cool, yeah,
and they can connect to you.
Yeah, and I'd like to just end as well on just a really short embodied visualization. I'll take like maybe a minute or two.
Okay.
Just give people a tool that they can access. So you can find me on lifeenergyalchemy.com, lifeenergyalchemy.com. I am transitioning the site at the moment, so if there's nothing there, if it's kind of freaking out, then that's why, but it'll be back up soon. And I'm on Instagram is kind of one of my favorites, and Facebook in particular. I am on Twitter as well, but I don't really use it, and Pinterest, at Zoe KM Foster. So at Zoe ZoeKM Foster.
Awesome. I will post all the links below this video and audio, so people can find you. And I'm sure that there are a lot of them, you know, that are really looking for that information, because as we all know, you know, the pills and the pharmaceutical industry is really pumping us with all sorts of of medications, and you know, sometimes they're not that good as they should be.
Yeah. Well, like I say, it's really about taking responsibility for your own health and recognizing at the same time, you know, there's no judgment in this. If you need some medications to get you through certain kind of transitions or as a route to finding your own kind of holistic well-being, then do so. But it's really about learning to trust your instinct, your intuition, your body and its messages to you, and finding the tools, all of the tools and all of the support that you need to do that and to move through that. And so the freebie that I'm offering is it really starting to kind of get you into that zone. It's about accessing your kind of energetic superpowers, if you like. So it is connecting your body, your breath, your mind, your intuition and inner power, and your kind of spiritual connection. It is all of that. So it's giving you that kind of, you know, holistic gift to connect to all of those things and actually recognize how that feels to you. So in particular, if you've got a lot of negative energy around you, if you've got people in your life who are draining you, or even just a situation in your life that's draining you, then this is going to help you to connect with that bigger power within yourself and that bigger power outside of yourself. And
it's
superhuman.
awesome. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for this gift. And like I said, I'm sure that many will benefit from it. Thank you for being here with me and sharing your journey with us. And I'm sure it's continuing to be beneficial for you and healing and, you know, sharing the message that you still have inside. It was such a fun talking to you. I think that we all learned a lot.
Thank you. It's been fantastic talking to you too.
Awesome. So I'm Alinka Tercic, and this was another coffee chat with Dream Life Creators. See you later. Bye.